Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling something huge, something so fundamental we almost never question it.
Citizenship.
Exactly. Citizenship itself. And we're looking at it through a pretty radical lens, right?
Oh, absolutely. We're diving into the book Citizenship by Dmitry Kuchinov. And let's just say it's not a gentle read. It's designed to provoke.
Provoke is a good word. So normally citizenship means rights, identity, belonging, maybe.
That's the usual idea, yeah. But Kuchinov completely flips that. He argues it's actually the opposite.
The opposite. How so?
He calls it the single most powerful tool creating and maintaining massive global inequality.
Wow. Okay. So that's the core idea we need to get our heads around today. This thing we value, citizenship, is actually a driver of a global caste system.
That's his term. A global caste system. Because think about it. Your life chances, your safety, your economic future, it's mostly determined by which passport you happen to get at birth. Not talent, not effort, just the lottery of birth.
And that really hits home today, doesn't it? With, you know, global migration, climate change forcing people to move.
Yep.
The gap between someone born, say, in Western Europe versus somewhere facing conflict or poverty is just immense.
It's a massive moral issue. And Kuchinov forces us to ask if the whole legal structure of citizenship is basically unjust on a global scale.
So who is Dmitry Kuchinov?
Yeah.
What gives him the standing to make such a, well, such a huge claim?
Well, he's got the credentials. He's the chair in EU constitutional law at the University of Groningen. He spent like 2 decades deep in the weeds of citizenship law, EU law. This is his field.
But it sounds like he's not just describing the law. He's critiquing it fiercely.
Exactly. He's not just an observer. He's a critic. He sees the current system as fundamentally flawed and argues pretty strongly for radical change if we want global justice.
And he backs it up with more than just legal arguments, right? There's something about data.
Yes. This is crucial. He didn't just write theory. He co-created a tool called the Quality of Nationality Index, the QNI.
QNI. Okay, what does that do? How do you even measure the quality of a nationality? Sounds kind of subjective.
Well, he made it objective. It ranks nationalities based on hard data. Things like how many countries you can travel to without a visa, the economic strength of your home country, its stability, that sort of thing.
Ah, so it puts a number on the real world power of your passport.
Precisely. It takes it out of the realm of patriotism or feeling and shows the tangible advantages or disadvantages numerically. It gives his critique this data-driven punch that's hard to ignore.
Okay, let's get into the book itself then. What's the overall mission?
Well, he basically sets out to dismantle what he calls the romantic myths surrounding citizenship. You know, all the talk about identity, loyalty, shared values.
He sees that as a distraction.
Largely, yes. He argues that underneath that, citizenship is primarily a legal tool for exclusion. It's an inherited status, kind of like. He uses the analogy of a feudal title.
A feudal title, like being born a lord or a serf.
Sort of, yeah. An unearned privilege or lack thereof that dictates your place in the global hierarchy from birth.
And the core injustice he's pointing to is this huge gap between where you're born and what rights you actually get.
Exactly. Your passport dictates access to safety, education, opportunity. He says we've built a system where your legal status is almost totally disconnected from like meaningful human rights for billions of people simply based on an accident of geography.
Did he look at this globally? Or focus on one region?
Oh, it's definitely global. He compares everything birthrate citizenship, like in the Americas, the really restrictive systems in places like the Gulf and the complex EU model. It's written for, well, for people like you listening, engaged citizens, policymakers, anyone willing to question these assumptions we just take for granted.
Okay, let's dig into some of the specific arguments. He starts right at the beginning with this idea of the citizenship lottery.
Yeah, that's the foundation, the pure accident of where you happen to be born. He uses stats to show just how massively this one factor outweighs almost anything else in determining your life path.
And he uses that stark example, doesn't he? Switzerland versus Somalia.
Right. The difference in life expectancy, economic prospects, basic safety, it's just astronomical. No amount of personal effort or merit can bridge that gap. That difference is the value of the passport.
So if it's just luck, what about the argument that citizenship is something earned? based on loyalty, shared values,
yeah.
contributing to the nation. He calls this the myth of national citizenship.
Yeah, he tackles that head on. He argues that a lot of that talk, shared identity, mutual obligations, is often just rhetoric.
Rhetoric that serves who?
Often, he suggests, it serves elite interests. It masks the reality that for most people, genuine participation or solidarity with the state is pretty limited. And besides, he points out, globalization has weakened many traditional functions of the nation state anyway.
Okay, so he dismantles the myth. Then he gets into something really provocative. Citizenship as property.
Ah, yes. This is where it gets really controversial. He literally argues that citizenship functions like an asset, like property you inherit.
And his proof.
The killer example is the whole industry of citizenship by investment CBI programs, golden visas.
Where wealthy people can basically buy a passport from another country.
Exactly. Malta, Cyprus, some Caribbean nations.
Mm-hmm.
There's a multi-billion dollar market for this stuff. And Kochanov says, look, if you can buy citizenship, if it's for sale, then it is a commodity. It's not some sacred bond. It's capital.
That's a powerful point. If it can be bought and sold, it behaves like property.
And that leads him to arguably his most challenging concept in Chapter 6, Global Mobility and Citizenship Apartheid.
Apartheid. That's a really loaded term. Why does he use it?
He uses it very deliberately. He argues that a system sorting people's rights and mobility based only on where they were born functions essentially like segregation on a global scale. Your passport dictates where you can travel, study, work, live.
And he draws a parallel, saying we'd never accept this within a country.
Precisely. If a country said, okay, people born in this region can't move to that region, or people of this group have fewer rights based on, say, race or ethnicity, we'd call it out immediately as discrimination. Yet we accept this exact logic globally just because the dividing line is a national border.
So if the nation-state model is inherently flawed like this, what about attempts to move beyond it, like the EU? He calls this the European experiment.
Right. He acknowledges that EU is the biggest attempt at creating a sort of post-national, supranational citizenship. And it's had huge successes. Obviously, freedom of movement for millions is a massive deal.
But he still sees limitations.
Oh, yeah. He's critical because at the end of the day, EU citizenship still depends entirely on national citizenship. You have to be French or German or Polish first. Lose that and you lose your EU rights.
Ah, so it creates a privileged bloc, but doesn't fix the underlying global problem of birthright inequality.
Exactly. It might solve inequality within the EU to some extent, but it reinforces the boundary between the EU bloc and the rest of the world. It doesn't challenge the fundamental global lottery.
So where does he see things going? In the later chapters, he talks about towards global justice. What does reform actually look like? Is it even possible?
He thinks it's necessary, not just desirable. He explores ideas like decoupling basic human rights from nationality. Things like the right to move, to work, to get an education. Maybe those should be universal human rights, not tied to the passport you hold.
And are there things pushing us in that direction anyway?
He argues yes. Climate change is a big one. Think about people from island nations literally disappearing under rising sea levels. Where does their citizenship reside then? Their state is gone.
That's a stark example.
And technology, too, like digital identities. Could they offer forms of belonging or access that aren't tied to a physical territory? The point is, these global challenges, climate, migration, pandemics, they don't respect borders. So our systems for dealing with them probably can't be strictly border-based either.
Okay, let's try and pull together the big takeaways here, the main themes. The first one has to be citizenship as arbitrary privilege.
Absolutely. That's the bedrock. Your citizenship is like inheriting a fortune, totally unearned, but massively impacting your life chances. It's unearned social capital on a global scale.
So for you listening, if you happen to hold a passport from, say, North America, Europe, Japan, Kochanov asks you to recognize that immense unearned advantage. It changes how you see travel, global news, everything.
Right. Then theme two. The commodification of political leadership. The fact that you can buy citizenship through CBI programs just blows apart the myth that it's some sacred earned status.
It reveals it as transactional, doesn't it?
That's
for sale, it's an asset.
Plain and simple. And theme three, that really powerful term, citizenship as global apartheid.
Yeah, the idea that the whole system of borders and visas functions like global segregation based purely on birth.
And you see the reality of that every day, right? In the visa queues, the barriers, the bureaucracy faced by billions just trying to move, study, or work across borders. It's a direct consequence of this system.
And finally, theme four, The root cause, maybe.
Hmm.
The tyranny of state sovereignty.
Yeah, the fact that international law basically gives states almost total power to decide who belongs and who doesn't, with very little oversight or ethical constraint, they have near absolute power to include or exclude.
Khochanov uses some really memorable, almost shocking lines to drive these points home. Let's touch on a few.
Okay, how about this one? Citizenship is the most significant human rights violation of our time, systematically denying billions of people opportunities based solely on the accident of birth.
Wow. That reframes everything. It's not neutral. It's an active source of injustice.
Exactly. Or this comparison. We would not accept a system where your race determines your opportunities, yet we accept without question a system where your nationality determines your fate.
That really highlights the inconsistency, doesn't it? Why is one kind of arbitrary discrimination condemned while the other is the foundation of our world order?
It forces you to confront that uncomfortable truth. And maybe one more, looking forward. The choice is not between current citizenship systems and dangerous chaos, but between systematic injustice and gradual reform toward global citizenship based on human dignity rather than birth lottery.
So reform isn't just a pipe dream. It's a practical, necessary step away from injustice.
No.
Okay, how do we apply these ideas in real life?
Well, on a personal level, if you do have one of those high-value passports, it's about recognizing that privilege, like we said, understanding that your freedom to travel, study abroad, work internationally isn't just about your merit. It's largely the passport.
It encourages a more cosmopolitan perspective, maybe, less nationalistic.
Definitely. And on a policy level, you can use this framework to analyze debates about immigration or refugees. Ask yourself, is this proposed policy just reinforcing the global apartheid, or is it actually moving towards fairness?
And it might lead you to support organizations working with, say, stateless people, like the Rohingya you mentioned earlier.
Exactly. People who fall through the cracks of this system entirely. They have no state protection, highlighting the system's cruelty.
There's even a business ethics angle, isn't there?
Yeah, thinking about how multinational companies operate. Do they use citizenship inequalities to, say, keep wages low in some places because workers can't easily move? Or do they try to mitigate those disadvantages for their employees globally?
For me, the biggest takeaway, the thing that really stuck, is that citizenship isn't set in stone. It feels inevitable, but it's not. It's a human construct.
It's contingent, changeable. It's a political tool we created, and we can change it.
And that's the call to action, really.
I think so. Khochanov's argument is that reform isn't just morally right. It's becoming practically necessary. Climate change, pandemics, global inequality, these problems don't care about passports. Our solutions probably need to start looking beyond them, too.
It definitely shifts your view. You stop seeing your passport as just a travel document and start seeing it as, well, a symbol of your place in this massive, often unfair, global system. A powerful, unsettling book.
Deeply unsettling, but incredibly important.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.